Thank you, Father, that you are the fire that purifies us. Father, may we lock into your eyes this morning and see only you. Change us so that you will be our first love again. Help us, Holy Spirit, to fall madly in love with Jesus all over again. Learn us, teach us to dance with him again. May we feel your heartbeat, and may we be in sync with that. Father, I pray as we speak here this morning your word, that your word will be sharper than a two-edged sword. That it will divide that is truth from that which is not truth. Thank you, Father, that you give us your Holy Spirit to guide us, to comfort us, to lead us, and to help us. May we never speak from our flesh. May we die to ourselves this morning, that Jesus can stand up and be the King. Open our ears. I just feel this morning that Jesus says he is fun to be with. It's a very strange thought that came into my mind, but I believe Jesus is fun. A lot of people, it might be your perception that God is someone with a fly squad and he's going to whack you every time you do something wrong. But Jesus wants to say, come dance with me. I am fun. He can relate so much more to you than you can ever think it's possible, because he's been here. He knows you. He knows you very intimately. Thank you, band. They were awesome this morning. Looks like this morning is the first of many. First time that this group of people played alone together. They were awesome. Thank you. And it's the first time that I'm not preaching. I'm just telling my story. Alistair had that one very cleverly worked out. And the elders, they don't want to preach. So now they put me in the front. I must say, this is much harder than doing the announcements. This is very hard. So for the guys who are new, I usually do the announcements and the welcoming, which is fun and it's very easy. But this is quite close to home. It's very personal for me. So this morning I'm just going to tell you a journey, the journey that I took, and it's more the story of what God has done in my life. And strangely, before Alistair asked me to speak this morning, about 3 weeks ago, God, he just amazingly showed me 4 seasons that passed my life. And it's with such thankfulness, and I can't really explain it, something in my heart that I want to say thank you, Jesus, that my life has been extended for 28 years four perfect seven seasons. When you're in the season, it doesn't always feel that perfect. But God showed me it was 28 years that my life was extended. And my story starts in 1990. When I was a matric and I had an aneurysm on the brain. Now I want to ask you guys, do you have your Bibles with you? Show me. Even if it's on your cell phone. Okay, go to Isaiah 54. Okay, you know the word is alive. Hey, doesn't come back void. Right, so it's a long piece, but I want to read it loud because this is what God gave me in 1990. And it came full circle 28 years now later. Okay, Isaiah 54 verse 1. Sing, O barren one, you who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You did not travail with child, for the spiritual children of the desolate will be more than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right hand and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be confounded and depressed. For you shall not be put to shame, for you shall forget the shame of your youth, and you shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth, he is called. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit and heart sore, even a wife in your youth, when she is refused and scorned, says your Lord. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion and mercy I will gather you to me again. In a little burst of wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with age-enduring love and kindness, I will have compassion and mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you or rebuke you. For though the mountains should depart and the hills be shaken or removed, yet my love and kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace and completeness be removed, says the Lord. Who has compassion on you? Are you afflicted, storm-tossed, and not comforted? Behold, I will set your stones in fair colors, in antimony to enhance their brilliance, says the Amplified, and lay your foundations with sapphires. And I will make your windows and pinnacles of sparkling agates and rubies, and your gates of shining carbuncles, and your walls of precious stones. And your spiritual children will be disciples taught by the Lord and obedient to his will. And great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children. You shall establish yourself in righteousness. You shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Behold, they may gather and stir up strife, but it's not from me. Whoever stirs up strife against you shall fall and surrender to you. Behold, I have created the smith who blows on the fire of coals, and who produces a weapon for its purpose. And I have created the devastator to destroy. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall show to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the righteousness of the or the vindication which they obtain from me. I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this word. I pray that it will be alive in everyone's hearts here. Okay, my story, as I said, started in 1990 when I was in matric. One morning I got up and I had a very severe headache. Long story, I'm going to shorten it a bit. I had an aneurysm in the brain. I was totally paralyzed on my right side. I couldn't speak, couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. And I was taken to the hospital. They did a lot of tests on me. And the aneurysm was in a very difficult place to operate. So they had to shrink my brain for 5 weeks with cortisone, so I was on heavy medication, and then they operated. And when they got to the aneurysm, they saw it, you know, it was what they call an open aneurysm. I know there's a lot of medical students here, so guys, just excuse that, okay? And then they couldn't do anything. They just bypassed it and hoped that one day it might clot and it will not, or stall, what is stall in English? Your clot, and that there will be enough blood flow. Okay, and then that operation took 12 hours, and I came out, and they thought I would be a vegetable. But God had other plans. So the doctor walked in the room, and he said this funny thing he saw on the scan. He said, the aneurysm is starting to clot. And he said, well, it was Moritz van der Heever. I don't know if you guys know him. He's a brain surgeon in Johannesburg. And he was like, this is not possible. And he said, well, as he walked out, he said, well, the people must be praying very hard because they written me off. There was no hope. There was no chance. They just waited for me to die. That was actually the verdict over me. And so the aneurysm started to clot. And then after 7 weeks, they released me from the hospital. Still bleeding on the brain, but there was nothing that they can do for me. And then the rehabilitation started for about a year. A lot of I had to learn to walk again. I was in a wheelchair. I had to learn to write again, speak again. All the stuff that you do in your normal life, I had to learn to do it all over again. I had a lot of support and a lot of good physio. A good physio, she didn't use the conventional methods. She put all kinds of machines on me to stimulate the muscles to start working again. But there was improvement. But it was hard work. And I just one day decided, and when I was in the wheelchair, I was there 2 days in the wheelchair, and I decided, I can't either do any. I'm not going to be in a wheelchair. I'm 18 years old. I'm not going to stay in a wheelchair. And they gave me this little kiriki, and I started walking with it, and I fell so many times. And I just cried and cried. I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to walk again. And the whole time, God was just beside me. I didn't always felt like it, but I walked again, and it took many, many, many months. And then after I went back to Technikon, and I started studying again. And I went down a super tube, and I got a bump in my head, and the aneurysm started bleeding again. So all the symptoms came back, but it wasn't as worse as bad as the first time. But this time they knew they couldn't do anything for me in the hospital, so they sent me at that stage to Har Efevoort. That's where they sent all the worst case scenarios. This all the guys that they really can't do anything with. And they put a little balloon in, and they did a lot of operations. And then finally, when the aneurysm starts to clot, it puts out in the brain. And when it puts out in the brain, it closed some of my ventricles in my brain. So they, and moist had built up in my brain, so they had to remove that because that can, there's also a lot of negative effects that it has in your health, and you can go blind, and you physically, your mental stage goes backwards. So and my eyesight was starting to go, and then one morning I was lying there in the bed, and it was this awful white clinical room, and I just felt the Holy Spirit in the room, and I was just standing and saying, why me, God, why do I have to go through this? And I can hear it clearly. The Holy Spirit just said, but why not you? And it was like, okay, is this now what I need to do? And that thought stayed with me, but they did the operation and they put a shunt in my head. And immediately after that operation, my sight was restored and I was fine. I was fine. But then there was a lot of rehabilitation. So that's a little intro. And, my parents were really supportive to help me through the rehabilitation that I had to go through. And my matric were given to me, although I did it, only write one exam, because of my marks. I didn't get a good mark on maths, but I passed it. Okay? So this week, when my daughter just completed a matric exam, I was just so thankful. I said, Lord, I could never do that, but my daughter could complete it. So it's such a privilege to stand here this morning, and I have a husband, and I have two beautiful daughters, and even in the detail, God, He provided both my husband and my name. Our names means warriors, and our first daughter Valet's name means the strong one or the chosen one, and Danya's name means the righteousness of God. So God, even in our names, He showed us towards what the future held. So what? After a lot of rehabilitation, I didn't go back to Technikon. I went to study, tourism. I was like walking like this, you know. People were like, maybe she does disabled tours or something. Okay, and I was like, one side of my face was still drooping, and I don't speak always that well. So now I went to study tourism, and I finished it. I did a diploma, and then I got worked as a tour guide. But that's just God's humor. If you had a lot of people who had a stroke, their confidence isn't that well, you know, because you, especially if you're that young, I had lots of medication. I was swollen like this of all the cortisones that they pumped me full. And there was a lot of stuff that they did with me just to help me along the way. And God said, "Now, okay, then we put you on a tour bus. And I started doing tours over the country, the flower tours, and I did to Zim. And I sometimes I think, what did my parents think? What did they think? How did they allow me to go and do this? And I was like walking with a limp and not always everything. I always let everything fall and break, and just because I was so, you know, lumperig. But God still had a plan. And then I did that for a year. And then God called me to go and study theology. So I went to study that. And that was at the age of 23, so you can go and study late, so don't worry about that. And that's where I started. It was good for me to get taught the basics and foundations. So I met my husband at the end of my studies, and God just put the glue together. And then we started working at the church. I was always involved in the church. And then when I finished my studies, I felt like I'm not going to be ordained as a pastor. It was very strange because the Holy Spirit told me that's I will always put you in ministry. You don't need a certification or something specific for that. And I didn't really, a lot of people thought like, that's not very nice. You must now get ordained or something. And God just didn't want me to do that. And up to today, I was always involved in ministry. So God, He just provided a way there. And then, yeah, we were involved with many churches. Then God placed Marius and myself alongside a lot of leaders in churches. Sometimes I think like, God, are you sure about this? Are you really sure about this? And we're just there to uphold their arms. Uphold their arms and be there for them, cover them. And prayer was always a big part of our lives. And we covered the leaders. So when we moved to Bloemfontein, God said one December, someone asked us to go and watch their farm in Jonkershoek, and we knew about Shofar, but we'd never been visiting here. So we went to the Shofar in Stellenbosch. And we visited there about three times, and we just knew this is where God wants us to be. And every end of the year, we ask God for the word for the next year. And that December, God just said, simplicity. Simplicity. And we thought like, okay, so we live a simple life, but okay, that's fine, Father. We'll do that. And and God said, you come to Shofar, not because of what you're going to get or not get. So we didn't know anything about this church. We didn't know what the people are, what they... Well, we went to the Shofar in Stellenbosch, and we really loved that. And God just said, this is where I want you to be. And on the first Sunday, we came here in the beginning of January, and Alice and Hester met us outside, and he started his sermon this morning, and when the screen came up at the back of him, what was on the screen? Simplicity. God, that was his heading of his sermon. So then we knew, okay, this is where we need to be. And then I saw a lot of the promises that God gave in Isaiah 54. He talked a lot to me when we came to Bloemfontein about the jewels. And I didn't understand the jewels. And rubies is very significant in my own life. It does come every time where there's significant places, then rubies just pops up. And in Isaiah 54, God talks specific about rubies. And God showed me the rubies are the women. The women that I speak to, that I'm involved in. And then I started with a lot of you still remember Yanni and Corneille. They came to me and they asked me, would I just disciple them? And I thought like, whoa, okay, maybe God wants me. This is the way I need to go. And we prayed about it. And when the day when I started, when God gave me this Isaiah 54 again, and I walked a journey with them for about a year, year and a half. And, God showed me that those are the children, the spiritual children you are releasing. And in the whole time that we were in Bloemfontein, there were a lot of people that passed our journey that we had to impart in. And God just gave us the amazing privilege to keep on imparting in them. And that was a promise that was fulfilled, that He gave many years before that. And then God started leading me and Morris into intercession. And we got involved in the house of prayer with the intercessors there. And they taught us to pray the word. They taught us a lot of foundational stuff, but it was necessary for us to get that impartation to come to where we are today and where we can impart in others. A lot of times we were just thrown into the fire. And it's like Daniel and his friends. You get thrown in the fire and your hands are tied, but you're not alone. You don't even smell of the smoke. And intercession is a lot of times like that. You get thrown into the fire. But when you come out, you don't even smell of smoke. God taught us we're going to go in the warfare of intercession. And you take as little as possible, again bringing back simplicity in our lives. So that's a theme that keeps on recurring into our lives. So then we experienced about 2 years ago, God said to us, I'm calling you back to Johannesburg. That is where we came from. We left there 14 years ago. And we thought, okay, I always said, if I need to go back to Johannesburg or Gauteng, the donkeys must start talking to me. And I was just saying it in a joke. But God is, He's awesome. And the donkey started speaking to me, literally. 2 years ago, when I opened a book, there was a donkey. And a donkey would say, "Ons is vry." And then I would go to an exhibition where I would exhibition my business, and I would turn around, and there this 2 meter big picture painting of a donkey. I would buy the newspaper, and there was donkeys, and I thought, like, is there something that I need to hear, God? Is there something that I need to know about? But that's just God just working in some of the detail that you don't really always understand, but later on you do. But 2 years, God has been preparing us, and it was just confirmation upon confirmation, but we didn't want to listen. So God used the donkeys to protect us also. That was just an ad break that I threw in there. But and I asked the Lord a while ago, why did you take us out of Johannesburg? Why did you bring us here? The first 2 years was horrible here. I just didn't cope with the dust, with the heat, with the wilderness, and it was just so different. But God did amazing stuff in all of us. And I don't want to leave Bloemfontein. I really don't want to leave Bloemfontein because it's home now. It's family. All of you are family, yeah? But this is just temporal. We one day we will be together. Amen. We will be together and we will laugh and we will have fun together and we will just think back about these times. So I asked God, why did you take us out of Gauteng? Why did you take us out? What was the purpose? And he said to me, I'm going to read it to you. He said, I want to remove Egypt from your heart. You needed to be separated to know what my voice sounds like, because you must be able to listen and obey. And I thought, like, whoa, okay, Father, I will listen. And listen and obey, a lot of people who knows me, I always say, listen and obey, listen and obey, listen to His voice. But to come to a place where you listen to His voice, you need to spend time with Him. You need to sit at His feet. You need to know what His voice sounds like. You need to become bride of Christ. We can't only stay and be body of Christ. The bride is the one who's intimate with Him. And that was the journey that Abba Father took me on, to become bride of Christ for us. And I believe that is what Abba is doing for you as a church. He's leading you from the body to become the bride. You need to be intimate with Him. You need to know His heart for His people. You need to spend the time with Him, and you need to listen and obey. And that's only going to happen if you pray. Guys, I had amazing, amazing, amazing times with God when I don't even like had this morning. So you don't really always feel like it. You don't feel like, I'm not going to get up. It's very early. I don't want to come and serve. But the times when I just got quiet in my spirit, and it's sometimes hectic around me, God just said, then He would just come and He would just say, maybe it's behind the dishes, and He would just stand next to me, and I just sense His experience, His presence with me, and He would say, I love you. And I thought like, okay, I'm washing dishes now, God. Is this the right time? And he just said, I love you. He wants, the point one I want to make, he wants to be part of your life. Not just in the morning, or in the evening, or when you come to church, or when you, when you come to a prayer meeting. He wants your whole life to revolve around him. He wants you to himself because you are the most important person to him. And a lot of times I questioned a lot of stuff that I did. I did so many different stuff. I was exposed to a lot of work types. I worked as in sales. I worked in admin and finances. And sometimes I thought like, God, is this really... is this the first thing that you want me to do, you know? And I question a lot of stuff myself because am I able to do it and am I capable of doing it? And when Alistair asked me to come and work in the office, I prayed about it and in my mind I made up, okay, this is God's, dit is God se toelaatbare wil vir my lewe. And I thought, like, it's not his first choice for me because my husband now has to work in Joburg and I have to stay behind here. It's probably just his allowed will for me for this season. And about 3 weeks ago, and that's what I want to tell you guys, God came to me and he said to me, through his Holy Spirit, he said, you were my first choice in everything that you did. And I realized what I'm doing now is exactly what he planned me to do. Dis nie sy toegelate wil nie. It's his perfect will. So everything that I've done in my life, every place that I worked, sometimes I thought, this is when I looked after small little children, whatever you did, you think like, oh, I don't know if this is now anything going to do for anyone. You are God's first choice. And you need to be willing to listen and obey. If you're not going to be obedient to his voice, he's going to choose someone else. But you're going to be held accountable for that he asked you. So come to a place, church, listen and obey. Because you are God's first choice in a many, 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 many things. And don't second guess God when he tells you something. I've learned, like the Israelites, don't gather as much as possible manna. Just in case there's not enough for the next 2 days. You just put your hand out of the tent. You have to do it and take enough for that day. God will provide the rest. You don't have to understand everything that happens to you. Live a life of total surrender. Total surrender. Because then we are no longer slaves. We are no longer slaves. Another season is starting for us. I don't know everything. I don't know what exactly. I don't want to know the detail because it might scare me. So 28 years later, 4 perfect sevens, God is taking us as a family into a new season. And he tells us, take only what you need for the warfare. God taught me in these, especially these 4 years in Shofar, to learn to sit on his lap. You need to sit on his lap because then you can hear his heartbeat. And then when you can hear his heartbeat, you come in sync with him. Yes, our flesh sometimes get out of sync and we go our own way, but God knows where you are and he always draws you back. Because when you you're in sync with his heartbeat, then you are able to walk with him. So you first need to sit on his lap, then you need to be able to walk with him because you are in constant, you know his voice. You know how to listen. You know you recognize your first love's voice. And then when the wall comes, you are able just to stand because he's next to you. You are not standing alone. He is with you. And this piece in Isaiah 54 where it says verse 17, it says, but no weapon, it says verse 16 first, behold, I've created the smith who blows on the fire of coals and who produces a weapon for its purpose. I have created the devastator to destroy. We need the fire. We need the fire in our lives because that purifies us. That sanctifies us. And it's hard. It's hard. It's very hard. There were days when I thought, Father, where are we going to get the next food from? Where am I going to get petrol in my car? A lot of stuff that you ask God. Life is not easy, but God is still good. God is good. God is good. And he loves you. And you are his first choice. You are not second choice. You are his first choice. So, you need to stand in the fire. And although it burns, you will not smell of smoke. Because he is with you. He's with you in the fire. And he is able. If I could do it, there were times that I could feel the life leaving my body in the hospital. It feels like life was draining at my feet. I was physically dying. I could feel it. And I felt the Holy Spirit next to me, unching me, say, you will live, you will not die. And I just started proclaiming that, you will live, you will not die. And what a privilege is that I can stand here this morning, that God extended my life for 28 years. And just, I could just be a vessel. I could just be a vessel so that he can use me because I was his first choice. But one day I want to stand before him. And if he asked me, I gave this for you to do. I want to say, Father, I did. I did what you asked. But you have to die to yourself. You have to die to yourself. You have to, the seed has to fall in the ground for a harvest to come forth. So I just want to encourage you this morning that all things are possible. And where there's a will, there's a way, and God is that will. We can do anything with him. And nothing has to be perfect. We can come in our brokenness because God is perfect. He is the perfect sacrifice. He paid the full debt. We are justified. Like my daughter's name, I had to be strong through him. But I had to come at the place where I know I am justified. When God looks at me, he looks through the eyes of Jesus and he sees Jesus who did the punishment. He became the guilty one for me. So you can do all things through Christ and you are justified through Jesus Christ. And I want to say to show for Bloemfontein, the fire is coming. There's a fire of revival coming, but there's also a fire of purification coming. And you have to take both of them. You're not going to shun away from either one of them. Because the harvest that's going to come from that is not something that's in your mind's comprehensible. And we need to lengthen our tent pins for God to fill it up. Okay, we're not going to fill it up. We don't have the power in ourselves. But God can. God is calling His church back together. But He's calling His bride. Those are the ones who are going into the holiest of holies. Those are the ones who sits on His lap and knows His heartbeat. So you choose. Are you just going to stay in the outer courts? Or are you going to go into the holiest of holies and sit and hear His heartbeat? May God bless you. And may He go before you. And may He fill the tents. And may His glory shine upon you. And remember, you are loved. You are treasured. You are called and you are named by our Father long before you even came into existence. You were called for such a time as this. You were made for such a time as this. And you were His first choice. Amen.